In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the Sunday of All Saints, and it's fitting that this Sunday follows right after the Sunday of Pentecost. Why is that? Because God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit that we might become saints. That's precisely why we're given the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be a saint? To be holy as God is holy. Obviously, we can't do that without God. We can't become what God is except by His grace. There's no other way. So it's only by the gift of the Holy Spirit that we can become holy. But with the gift of the Holy Spirit, then there's no reason why we can't become holy. So how is it? Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? If you have, then there's no reason why you can't become holy, why you can't become a saint, why you can't be filled with God's holiness and join this great cloud of witnesses that we see surrounding us in the holy icons, on the iconostasis that we read about in the lives of the saints. That's our destiny as Christians. Everything that we talk about in the church is not something theoretical. It's not just some kind of dry, abstract theology, something we read about in books. Oh, that's interesting. No. This isn't a hobby for us, brothers and sisters. It's not like we're some kind of theological nerds or something. You know, let's learn more about Scripture so that, just because, so we can argue with people about Scripture. Everything that we learn, everything that we receive, everything that's spoken in the church is practical and for our salvation. Every single thing, every word. It's very practical. It's a gift. The Lord is saying through the church here, live this way. Receive this gift. Be nourished with this word so that you can go on living your life and living it in such a way that you're dedicated to me. So that you can go on running the race. St. Paul, in that epistle to the Hebrews, that passage that we hear today, uses this wonderful analogy of a race. We're running a race. And this is how it is. It's a great analogy. All of us are called to run a race. And I was thinking about it, you know, I was thinking, how is it that we can be running this marathon? Because in one sense, our whole life is a marathon. And yet, it's like we have to continually be training. Now, if you're running a marathon, you're not training for the marathon, you're running it. You know, it's too late to train in one sense. But I think a good way to think about it is, yes, in one sense, we're running a marathon throughout our life from this day until the end of our life, whenever that is. But in another sense, every day is a new marathon. And we pray like that in our morning prayers and our evening prayers. You know, it's like this day is the beginning of a new life. Every day. Today, Lord, let me begin anew. Let me start afresh. Let me make a good beginning, even though I haven't until now. So it's like every day is a new marathon. So, yes, we're always training. Even as I run the marathon today, I'm training for tomorrow's marathon. And this we have to keep in mind, that our life is a race. It's a struggle. It's an athletic endeavor. Spiritually speaking. And so this idea of a race is a wonderful analogy for us. And as we're running this race, this spiritual race, this marathon of life, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, St. Paul says. Listen, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What's this cloud of witnesses? Of course, it's the saints. It's the angels, it's the martyrs, it's the men and the women who ran the marathon, ran it well, and made it to the end, and were crowned with the crown of victory. And they are now in the stands, if you will, cheering us on as we're running the race. They're praying for us. They're interceding for us. They're giving us strength and inspiration as they cheer for us. They're giving us hope that we can continue to run. What does it mean to be a martyr? You know, this feast of All Saints was first a commemoration of all the martyrs, and then it was expanded just to remember all of the saints. But if you think about it, every saint is a martyr. Now, we usually think of martyrs in terms of those who shed their blood or who are beheaded or crucified or, you know, somehow they're put to death for their faith in Christ. But really, what does martyr mean? To be a martyr, martyria, it means to bear witness. It means to be a witness, to bear witness to Christ. You know, when you're on a road trip and you're driving along and you see a sign that says Shreveport 100 miles, it means you're getting close to home, doesn't it? The sign is bearing witness to the fact that you're going in the right direction. There it is. You haven't gone off on some detour and now you're heading in the wrong direction. You know you're going in the right direction and you know how far you have to go. The sign is bearing witness, you see? And that's what the martyrs do. They serve as signs for us, showing us this is the way. This is the way towards holiness. This is how we became holy. This is how we became saints. It's through one and only one means, Jesus Christ, through His life, through His church, through His body, that we become holy. And they point the way to Him, always. So all the saints are martyrs in that they bear witness to Christ. So we have this cloud of witnesses. They're bearing witness. They're showing us the way. They're cheering us on. They're praying for us. And we're called to join them. That's our calling. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. To run the race as they ran it, with their encouragement, making it to the end. And they will receive us there at the finish line, together with our Lord Jesus Christ. And one more thing that this cloud of witnesses does for us is we're surrounded by them. You know, the world laughs at repentance. The world, when you come and you open up your soul and you can see that you're broken and you're weak and you're vulnerable, what does the world do? It tramples on that. Tramples on it. But what do the saints do for us? They make a safe environment, a safe space, if you will, for our repentance. They make a place for us where we won't be laughed at. When we come and we admit our weakness and our vulnerability and our sinfulness and our brokenness, and we say it before God and we say it before one another, this is what being in this environment of saints does for us. It reminds us that repentance is okay. And not only is it okay, but it's really good. And it's the way forward for us. It's the way for us to run the race. So we have all these examples, like St. Moses the Ethiopian, who was a robber and violent and repented of that. And St. Mary of Egypt, who was promiscuous and profligate and gave in to sensuality, and she repented of that. And we say in the prayers over and over again, we ask the Lord to receive us as He receives the publican and the sinful woman and so on. Because all the saints show us the path to Christ, and the path to Christ is the path of repentance. And they make a safe place for us to do that in the church. So then what does St. Paul say? Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race. And how do we run it? He gives us some advice. Let's lay aside every weight. You know, if you're training to run and to be strong and everything, you might have a backpack full of 100 pounds or something like that to make you really strong. But now it's time for the race, and what are you supposed to do? Huh?
Run fast.
And are you supposed to have a backpack full of lots of weight for the race? No, you want to get rid of that. So if you're going to run the race and you're going to run it well, then you have to lay aside every weight, every unnecessary weight you want to put aside. And the sin which so easily ensnares us, so easily clings to us, in one translation. Think about if you're trying to run a race and you have some really tight clothes that hold your arms close to your body like a straitjacket, or you have ropes around you or something like that, and around your legs, you know? Would it be easy to run the race if you have ropes and tight clothing and things like that? No, it's impossible. You can't move. And this is what sins do to us. This is what passions do to us. They bind us. And we heard in the gospel today about love for Christ and other loves that take us away from Christ. And the Lord warns us that we must love Him more than father, mother, sister, brother, children, wife, spouse, everything. Why? The point is not to make an idol of anything, because every idol prevents us from loving God properly. He doesn't mean don't love. We're supposed to even love our enemy, and certainly to love our neighbor, and certainly to love our families. The point is not to make an idol. And this is true of so many things in our lives. And ultimately, we make idols of ourselves, and that binds us, that prevents us from coming to Christ. So we have to discover, what are those things that are clinging closely to us? What are those things in our lives that are idols? What are those things that we give our love to instead of Christ, and that prevent us from running as we should? What are those weights that we're carrying that we must get rid of so that we can run properly? And so we come to repentance in the church and we lay those things aside. And then what does he say? And let us run with endurance, or with perseverance, the race that is before us. You know, I used to run track, and many of you may have run races. And when you're running competitively, one thing your coach tells you is, if you trip and you fall down, get back up and keep going. Don't give up. Never give up. And don't worry about what the other runners are doing, right? Because you can jump out of the blocks and you're trying to look at where other people are and who's ahead of me and who's behind me and what's this runner doing, and you're distracted and you're not running like you should. So if you fall down, you have to get up and you have to keep going, and you can't let yourself be distracted, but keep your eyes on the goal, on the finish line, and keep moving. So we have to run with perseverance. We have to run with endurance. We can't quit early. We can't give up. Just don't give up. Just when you fall down, get back up and come back again to the Lord. The thing that breaks a pastor's heart the most is to see somebody giving up. Don't ever give up, no matter what happens. It's never hopeless. Never. Not in any way. If God is for us, who can be against us? If great saints have committed terrible sins and repented and turned back to Christ, then you can too, no matter what you've done. So don't ever give up, and don't let yourself wander away. Don't isolate yourself from the body, because this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to isolate you, take you away, make you give up, make you lose hope, separate you from the cloud of witnesses. Don't give up. Run with perseverance. Even if every day you feel like it's a failure, still keep running. Get up again and run again the next day. Don't give up even if you fall. Jump back up and keep running the race. Run back to Christ. And finally, St. Paul ends with the most important part. He says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, having laid aside every weight, having laid aside the sin that clings to us, remembering the cloud of witnesses, and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does this mean? Author and finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He knows how we start. He knows how we end. He's there at every fresh beginning, and he's there at the finish line waiting for us. And he's everywhere in between. He's in every part of the race. He's the author. He made it. He made everything. He gave us this world and everything we need to run the race. And he's the finisher, and that he completed it himself. He ran the race, and he made a way for us. He made it possible for us to run the race. We must keep our eyes on him. There's no other way to do it. The devil wishes to distract us and to make us look at all kinds of other things. He wants to entice our eyes in all different kinds of directions. But if we allow that to happen, then we get off the path. We have to keep our eyes on Christ. There's no other way to stay on the path, to stay steady, to continue persevering, and to run the race, and to become a member of that great cloud of witnesses. There's no other way than to keep our eyes steadfastly on our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom together with all the saints we offer praise, honor, worship, and glory, together with his Father who is from everlasting and is all holy and good and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.